Hey, this is Pastor Eric. I trust you had a blessed, albeit isolated, Easter, celebrating the hope that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This weekend, I am returning to our virtual meditations on the Psalms, the next psalm being Psalm 123. If you've missed any of the meditations on the Psalms or last week's Easter message, you will find them in the same location you found this one. Let me start by reading the entire psalm, this one containing only four verses. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Psalm 123, a song of ascents. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Now, this psalm can be divided equally into two parts containing two verses. The psalm can be outlined this way. First, the hope for mercy in verses 1 and 2. Second, the prayer for mercy in verses 3 and 4. Let's look at the hope for mercy starting in verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. The verse starts with the phrase, to you. The psalmist immediately telling us to whom he looks to and trusts. He says emphatically, to you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Clearly the psalmist is talking about the Lord Almighty in heaven. Throughout the Psalms, God and his throne are declared to be in heaven. Now, this first verse is quite similar to Psalm 121, verse 1, which we explored in the first virtual meditation. And it reads this way, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Now, it's not known whether the same person wrote both Psalms. You may recall that the hills mentioned in Psalm 121 could be dangerous for the pilgrims singing and reciting these songs of ascents as they traveled to Jerusalem for the major Jewish festivals. The writer of Psalm 121 knew his help would come from the Maker of heaven and earth, as he says in verse 2. The writer of Psalm 123 lifts his eyes to the one enthroned in heaven. If we combine these two verses, the psalmists proclaim their dependence on the Lord, the awesome and powerful God, the ruler of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, whose throne is in heaven. In Psalm 123, verse 2 expresses the psalmist's hopeful expectation in the Lord of the universe. He says, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. servants looking to masters for handouts may seem strange to us modern readers, but servitude and slavery in antiquity provided a level of provision and protection that some may not have had otherwise. For many, being a loyal, submissive slave for a good master was better than being a free person with no resources or support. The psalmist has in mind here caring, helpful, supportive, merciful, earthly masters, because he uses them as a parallel to describe our heavenly master. And here's a principle. God's people, loyal and submissive to their master, look to the Lord for mercy, protection, and provision. God's people, as his servants, who are loyal and submissive to him, look to the Lord for mercy, protection, and provision. The psalmist expresses his hopeful expectation that God will deliver him by saying he'll look to God until God shows his mercy. Now, this look at God is not a passing glance. It is a steady and adoring gaze. And this look results in a confident assurance that God will come through because of his steadfast love. Now let's pause for a moment to ask ourselves a couple questions. Are we lifting up our eyes and looking to the merciful Lord in our circumstances? Are we loyal and submissive servants to God through both the good and the bad in our lives? Or do we find ourselves so focused on the dangers in the hills that we've forgotten to look to the heavens? The second half of the psalm expresses the prayer for mercy, the psalmist revealing exactly why he needs God's mercy. Verses 3 and 4 read, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt." Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. Notice the transition from the individual I in verse 1 to the corporate our and us in verses 2 through 4. The troubles the psalmist faces is the collective experience of God's people. The psalmist has had more than enough, stated twice, of the wicked's contempt. The wickedness of these people is implied in the description as those who are at ease and the contempt of the proud. Other translations use the terms arrogant and proud. Contempt is defined as despising, lacking respect and reverence. And the attitude of contempt leads to its action, which is willful disobedience and open disrespect. Here, it is being displayed towards God and his people. The circumstances of the psalm appear to be God's people being oppressed in some way and possibly persecuted by the arrogant and proud. And the psalmist says God's people have had enough of scorn and contempt. These people the psalmist describes are proud, arrogant. They are independent from God, not relying on Him, but relying on themselves. The psalmist is describing the world, people who don't know God, a people who are independent from Him, who are opposed to Him and His people. Proverbs 19, verse 16, contrasts the way of the godly and the wicked. It says, whoever keeps commandments, God's commandments, keeps their life. But whoever shows contempt for their ways, the ways of God's commands, will die. Now, the twice repeated request for the Lord's mercy in verse 3 matches the psalmist's exhaustion from the wicked's contempt. The psalmist is fed up with the contempt of the wicked, and he desires God's mercy in place of it. Now, interestingly, the psalm breaks off unanswered. It ends abruptly without any conclusion. We don't know why that is, but we can finish the psalm with other scripture. Remember in verse 2 that the psalmist has confident assurance that God will come through. The psalmist knows God is enthroned in heaven, ruling over all people. Even when the wicked are troubling God's people. One place we can look to finish this psalm is in the first song of ascents, Psalm 120, verses 3 and 4. Say, what shall be given to you? And what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Now, these verses describe what God does to the wicked. He shoots them with sharp arrows and heaps burning coals on them. Another psalm that brings themes from Psalm 120 and 123 together is Psalm 11. Verse 4 reads this way. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Here's the Lord being enthroned in heaven theme we see in Psalm 123. It goes on, His eyes see, His eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but His soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let Him rain coals on the wicked. Here we see the burning coals theme from Psalm 120. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. The righteous, the godly, shall behold God's face. The wicked's portion, on the other hand, is burning coals, fire, sulfur, and scorching wind. These are the eternal destinies of the godly and the wicked. And keep in mind, these are the only two options, the only two paths. The prophet Daniel describes the wicked's destruction in terms of contempt. He writes in chapter 12, verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. God will judge all mankind. He will set things right. A scripture also tells us that vengeance does not belong to the godly, but it belongs to the Lord. He will repay in His time, either in this life or the life to come. In the meditation on Psalm 120, we read Paul's instruction in Romans 12 to overcome evil with good. And we also read about Jesus' response to those who treated Him with contempt in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter tells us that Jesus committed no sin and entrusted Himself to the one who judges justly. Believers throughout history have been, and can be still today, mocked by the proud and arrogant of the world, who rely on themselves and not God. Some see Christianity as a crutch for the weak. But one day, the Lord will vindicate all those who follow Jesus. In the meantime, however, Jesus' followers are to bless those who persecute them. They are to do what is honorable in the sight of everyone. They are to overcome evil with good. In light of this psalm, as God's people, let us lift our eyes and look to the Lord our God, who is enthroned in heavens, in the heavens. The God who shows us great mercy. Let's focus on the heavens, not the hills. Let us be loyal, submissive, obedient servants who rely on our great master for protection and provision. And let us overcome evil with good as we await our vindication from the Lord. I pray this psalm will be a blessing to you this week. And until we meet again, or Jesus returns, the Lord be with you. Amen.